How I feel this evening. I want to read with you tonight a very familiar portion for 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15, reading from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Ending at verse 10 this evening. And may the Lord bless to us the reading of his precious word. Could we bow together in a word of prayer, please? Our Father, we thank you already this evening for what we have heard. And Father, we just pray your blessing upon the pieces that our brother has sang to us this evening. We thank you afresh tonight for the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray as we just turn to your word just now, that we might know your help. We thank again, our Father, should there be those in our meeting tonight, in the meeting without the Saviour, that Father, you will speak to them this evening. And grant that even on this Easter Sunday, someone in our meeting might find the Lord Jesus to be their Saviour, for we ask it in his precious name. Amen. You know, as you go through the Word of God, you'll find that there are some chapters, some outstanding chapters, which stay in your mind and in your memory. I'm thinking perhaps tonight of Isaiah 53. What a wonderful chapter it is. We find there the prophet speaking about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And you know, someone has said concerning the prophet, it seems as if he was sitting at the foot of the cross when he penned this wonderful chapter of Isaiah 53. You know, there are a lot more great chapters in the Bible. You know, when you think of the book of Psalms this evening, Psalms that we know so well, Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 24, the Psalm of the Resurrection. But you know, this chapter that we've read together tonight is another one of those great chapters of the Bible. Because as you read down through this chapter, you'll see that it's a chapter tonight of resurrection. It brings before us the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then as you go on down the chapter, you see it's referring to a future day when all the Christians will be resurrected. So it's a great chapter this evening. You know, the Apostle Paul here, he's writing to these believers at Corinth. And he's reminding them of that time when he came to them preaching the gospel. And you can read about that in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18. Because many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul preach, they got saved. They believed the gospel, they got saved, and they were baptized. And here's Paul writing to them. And he's reminding them of that time when he came to them. And in verse 3 he says this evening. For I delivered unto you that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I want you to notice tonight that Paul brings three great affirmations before us. He says Christ died for our sins. And then he said he was buried. And then he goes on to say, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You see, in this verse tonight, we have a trinity of truth. We have three great truths that are vital this evening to the preaching of the gospel. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ rose again. You know, all these great truths, as our pastor reminded this morning, have been assailed and attacked by modernists. And you know, tonight we thank God that these great truths have withstood the test and withstood all this criticism and critics. And us, and many of us tonight who are believers in this meeting, we rest our faith on the solid bedrock of Holy Scripture. Yes, these are very important truths this evening. I want you to notice first of all tonight that Paul takes us to the cross. He says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You know those two words, he died, they could be said of so many in our world tonight. Millions and millions of people have died. You've only to go out to the cemetery tonight and look around you. And so often when I go out there to some of my friends' graves, I say to myself, I wonder how many are buried in this cemetery because it's getting so big. You know how it speaks to my heart, and I'm sure it speaks to your heart tonight, about that our lives are going in so quickly. And you know, death is a reality. The scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. It speaks of the universality of death. And you know, dear friends, this evening, all the great men of history share this epitaph this evening. He died. Some died rejoicing, and others have died in great fear. I was reading this week about Francis Ridley Havergal, and I was reading from Dr. Cyril Baxter's book, and he was pointing out about this lovely lady who has written so many of her hymns. You know, she died when she was only 43 years of age. But as she went down into the valley of death, you know, it seems as if the heaven opened towards her. And she was heard to say these wonderful words, my King, my King, my glorious King. She got a vision of the Lord Jesus. You remember D.L. Moody tonight? He was a great servant of the Lord. And you know, when he came to die, his family were trying to prevent him from dying or going so suddenly. But he said, this is my coronation day. Oh, he was rejoicing as he went home. to heaven. But I read this week also of Voltaire, the atheist, how he died. He died in stark fear. Those who were attending him shut the door, lest anyone should hear what he was saying. And you know, the nurse who was looking after him, she vowed in her heart never to attend another atheist deathbed. Oh, dear friends, tonight, death is real. Death is a solemn subject this evening. I wonder tonight, have you ever sat beside a loved one's deathbed? Have you ever sat beside the deathbed of a dear friend and watched them go out into eternity? I have saw it many times. And I am so glad on many occasions the one that I sat beside was going. I knew they were going to heaven. I remember my mother dying. Not so many years ago. And as I sat beside her bedside, I was holding her hand. And she sat up in the bed. And she looked at me. And she said, "Ronnie, I'm going to die." And in a few minutes, she was gone. But I thank God tonight she was saved. That there was a day in her life when she came to know the Savior. And I believe in my heart tonight that she's in heaven. You know, dear friends, when you go back in the Bible to Genesis chapter 5, you will discover there that Adam and Eve died. Cain and Abel died. In fact, 8 times the word "he died" is mentioned there in Genesis chapter 5. But you know, dear friends, this evening when we come to think about the death of the Lord Jesus, Paul says it was different because he died according to the Scriptures. Oh, you know, tonight there's so many details regarding the death of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament Scriptures tonight. You know, Paul, in Acts of the Apostles, actually it was Luke who wrote it, said, "To him give all the prophets witness." And you know, dear friends, this evening, as you go back into the Old Testament and you see what the prophets had to write about the death of the Savior. You know, David, I wonder, do you know it tonight? David was not only the sweet psalmist of Israel, but he was a prophet. Because he says in 2 Samuel 23, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his words were in my mouth." And you know the psalmist David in the Psalms, how often he referred to the death of the Lord Jesus. You remember how he began Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You remember that that was the first or the fourth cry of the Savior on the cross. And as you read down through that Psalm, Psalm 22, you'll notice that David refers to the Lord Jesus, his hands and his feet being pierced. My dear friends, in those days, crucifixion had never been heard tell of. But David was speaking about the Lord Jesus prophetically. David knew in his heart that one day the Lord Jesus would die upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, the psalmist in the Psalms this evening, there's so many references to the death of the Lord Jesus. He died according to the Scriptures. I wonder tonight if I were to ask you, when did the Lord Jesus first know that this shameful death would be his? My dear friends, you remember that the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember him praying, "Father, if it be possible, Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but mine be done. Was it there in the garden that he first realized that he was going to the cross of Calvary? My dear friends, it was there and before that. You remember when he stood on the mountain with the three disciples, Peter, James and John. You remember how Moses and Elijah appeared and they spake of his disease at Jerusalem. I tell you, it was before that. You remember when he stood on the banks of the Jordan and John came out with those wonderful words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I tell you tonight, it was before that. You see, the testimony of Scripture is clear tonight that the Lord Jesus started moving towards that cross, away back there in eternity. Peter tells us he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And you know, my dear friends, tonight, right through the Old Testament Scriptures, in the Psalms, in other of the prophets, his death was predicted. It was prophesied. And dear friends, through parallels and pictures and types and shadows, the death of the Lord Jesus is brought before us. He died according to the Scriptures. I want to say tonight that on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus, bearing shame and scoffing rue, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior! I wonder, dear friends, tonight, have you ever thought about why he should die? Remember who he is this evening. He is the eternal Son of God. Remember, he's the one tonight who made all things. John tells us all things were made by him. And without him, nothing was made without him. Dear friends, tonight he's the eternal Son of God. And in order to die for you and I tonight, he had to take upon him human nature. Isn't that amazing? You know, Charles Wesley got it right when he said, when he penned those lovely words of the hymn, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" Yes, isn't it amazing tonight when you think of the place where he died, the place called Calvary? You know, Luke says in Luke 23 and 33, when he was come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. You know, dear friends, this evening, what a cruel death he died. He was hung up and crucified. And those kind hands which did so good, much good, they nailed them to a cross of wood. Isn't it amazing when you think of who he died with tonight? He died in the midst of two thieves. On either side of him was a thief. Three crosses standing side by side. Oft broken law a sign. Two for their own transgressions died. The middle one for mine. You know, dear friends, tonight the truth is this. That there at the place called Calvary, it really happened on that stark hillside outside Old Jerusalem, the most startling event of all the ages, because there the Savior died. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Yes, Paul tells us here, dear friends, this evening, that Christ died for our sins. according to the Scriptures. The first note of the gospel tonight is he died. The second note is that he was buried. My, how that does away with the swoon story this evening. You know, when the Lord Jesus, when Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate to beg the body of the Lord Jesus, you remember that Pilate called the centurion to see if the Savior was really dead. And when the centurion told him he was dead, Pilate consented to give Joseph of Arimathea his body. And do you remember tonight that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took that body down from the cross. And they wrapped it in cloths. And do you remember they anointed it with spices and laid it in the tomb. And do you know, dear friends, this evening, that tomb was sealed. That tomb was sealed with a Roman seal. You remember there was guards put on the outside to watch it. And you know, dear friends, this evening I'm sure Satan was watching also. If he could keep that body in the tomb for more than 3 days, then Calvary would have been of no avail. But thank God tonight that on the third day he rose triumphantly. Bless God tonight that the Savior lives this evening in the power of an endless life. I was reading the story this week of a little boy. He had went to the gallery in Edinburgh. He loved to go round there apparently just to look at the pictures. And you know, he came to a picture of the crucifixion and he was standing watching at it. When the gentleman came up behind him and said to him, "Sonny, do you know who that is?" The little boy said, "Yes, sir, that's the Lord Jesus." And then the gentleman said this to him, "Do you know what he's doing there?" "Oh, yes, sir. He's dying for our sin." And the gentleman was amazed at what the little boy knew about the Lord Jesus. And so he put his hand in his pocket and he gave him some money. And he walked on up the gallery, but he hadn't got very far until he felt a tug on his coat. It was a little boy, and the little boy looked up into his face and said, "Sir, I forgot to tell you, he rose again." Isn't that wonderful tonight? That the loving Lord Jesus, he's alive. He says, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." You know, I discovered another lovely story this week about the resurrection. You know, there was a pastor in America and he was getting ready for the Easter Sunday morning meetings. And he turned the radio on and this preacher who came on, he said, "You know, this is Easter Sunday." But he said, "You know, it doesn't matter to me," he says, "whether Jesus Christ is alive or not." He said, "Or whether he lies in a Palestinian grave. I don't really care." And you know, the pastor, he got really excited and he said, "You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar." And you know, his wife, she came into the room and she says, "What's wrong with you?" He says, "That man's telling lies," he says. "He's saying that the Lord Jesus didn't rise again." You know, he went out to the meetings that day. He spoke twice. And at each of the meetings, he spoke on the resurrection. And you know, he came home that night. And he was still a little bit annoyed and confused. And his wife said to him, she said, "You know, why don't you go up into the study and think again about it? And maybe you could write something that would help somebody in the future." And that's what he did. He went up into his study. And he thought again about the words of the angels. "He is not here. He is risen." And we were singing tonight the hymn that he wrote. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what men say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He wrote that wonderful hymn, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You see, dear friends, tonight in the meeting, the Lord Jesus, His resurrection, it was affirmed in the Old Testament also. Because David, again speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus, said this in Psalm 16, Thou wilt not leave his soul in hell, neither wilt thou see the Holy One to see corruption. And you know, dear friends, this evening Isaiah saw the resurrection, because in Isaiah 53 again, it says this, He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. You remember that Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know, when you come into the New Testament tonight, you'll see it confirmed. Yes, we have read in 1 Corinthians 15 this evening how Paul talks about those who saw the Lord Jesus after his death. He says that he was seen of Peter. Then he was seen of 500 brethren at once. And he was seen of James. And then he says, last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. You know, dear friends, what a day it was for Paul when on Damascus Road he met the living Lord Jesus and his life was changed. And you know, dear friends, tonight in our meeting, this could happen to you. If you're in the meeting tonight unsaved, you know you can come tonight and trust the Lord Jesus to be your very own and personal Savior. You see, tonight, dear friends, you need a Savior. Remember this evening that if you die without Him, you'll be lost for all eternity. Remember this evening that it's only through the Lord Jesus tonight you can find pardon and peace and forgiveness. Because bless God tonight that on that cross of Calvary so long ago, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for you and He died for me. And He shed His precious blood to make atonement for your sin and for mine. And you know, if you come and trust Him tonight, you can get saved and start for heaven and for home. You know, dear friends, this evening there was a young lawyer on one occasion. His name was Frank Morrison. And he determined in his heart that one day he would write a book against to disprove the resurrection. And you know, he got the opportunity and he got his Bible out and he started to read about the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And as he looked at all the facts, he came to the conclusion that the Word of God was correct. That the Lord Jesus had not only died, but rose again. You know, something wonderful happened to him. He got gloriously saved through studying the Scriptures. And you know what happened, dear friends? And a day later, he wrote a book. And I've got his book at home tonight. Who Moved the Stone? Ah, dear friends, this evening, the Savior lives tonight. Bless God tonight. He's not only willing to save, He's able to save. And you know, dear friends, tonight, He wants to save you. You know, there must be something awful to save you from. When He left, and you think of it tonight, that He left the glory of heaven and went to that blood-stained cross and paid the great debt of your sin that you might be saved. There must be something awful tonight to save you from. I want to say tonight that hell is real. It's an actual place tonight. And if you die without the Savior, you'll be lost for all eternity. Dear friends, in the closing moments of our meeting tonight, can you look away again to Calvary? And like Isaac Watts, can you survey that wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died? You know, my father-in-law used to sing the gospel. And I was just thinking last night ere I fell asleep about a little hymn he used to sing. Before you the Jesus of Calvary stands, still bearing the marks of the nails in his hands, with brightness of glory adorning his brow, he fondly invites you to come to him now. Remember, dear friends, that the one who holds out his hands to you tonight, and in love and in mercy calls you to be saved, he bears the marks of Calvary in his hands. If you don't know him tonight, may even tonight you call upon him, because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.